Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny. How you doing, boneheads? S-Crew.
And welcome to the show. This week, we will review The Call. As always, John will give us the plot in five words, give our first thoughts, and then go into a deep spoiler analysis.
All right, ladies and gents. I've got two, so you can decide which one you like.
Oh, wait. Should I? Let me call this in. Ring, ring.
Oh, okay.
Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
Hello?
Yeah. You have five words, John?
Who is this? How did you get this number? It is a different time of, a period of time here. I can feel it.
I'm from the 90s. I listen.
Oh, hangs up immediately. Wait, what part of the 90s? Oh, the late 90s, early 2000s? No, hang up.
New metal.
All right, here are the five words, ladies and gentlemen. And as always, I just need my drum roll.
What? Hold on.
And our five words are, well, I have two for you, so you can decide which one you like more. Lonely women connect long distance.
Yeah. Okay.
You know? But the second one is haunted house has great service.
Yes. Yeah, those are great. This week we're talking about The Call. So
The Call.
We're going to give our first thoughts.
I don't know what's scarier, landlines or never charging a phone and it works.
Yeah.
Because this is a cordless phone and it never gets charged.
But it's spooky. It's a spooky cordless phone.
Spooky phone. Now I got a question. Okay. Do you think, because I feel like a lot's not really explained in this movie.
Yeah.
Do you think the house is haunted?
No. I never considered the house. I just assumed it was like the phone, the landline phone.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, but there seemed to be a lot of, how do I start? I guess we can just go into like what happens at the beginning a bit. So long story short, some woman goes back to her childhood home, and she finds a wall that has a room behind it, right?
Yeah.
Because a picture falls for no reason of her family. You see what I'm getting at now? And then she decides, like, you know, it's a horror movie, so she's like, oh, I need to rip open this wall because that's like a thing to do. So she rips open the wall.
Yeah.
And then she, you know, she walks down there into this like big basement room they didn't know existed. And then that's when the phone gets discovered, but all these like weird mystical things are happening too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I was confused. I couldn't figure it out
because
They don't explain the phone, or maybe they do. I probably need to rewatch it. There probably has to do something with the stepmom from the past who's a shaman or something.
I don't know. It was kind of like, why does the mailbox work in the lake house? I mean, that's, you know what I mean? Like when they're, you've seen that movie? With
yes, I've seen that movie. It is a wonderful
movie. It's a wonderful movie.
Yeah. That movie kind of did the communication a little better than this one, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I felt like the movie was trying to be like three different movies.
Okay. All right.
You know, because The beginning was very, you know, it was just like these two lonely girls, and one girl is obviously getting like harassed at home, and the other girl Man, I hate to say this, but I feel like she's just real, like, woe is me because of her life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, she has, like, every opportunity to fix things, but she doesn't. And then she takes advantage of this thing that should not exist, this, like, phone that only calls the phone in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like the lighthouse, right? So essentially, it's like it's like a time travel where they're talking to each other through this phone or whatever, but has like a twisty science fiction thriller slasher movie components to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think that's what you're kind of saying, where it's like it's all these different types of stories, right? Where it's like she's kind of like a serial killer. It's a science fiction film. It's a thriller. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a lot of things, and under all of that is like this Korean drama, I think, that's played up.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yes, and that's what I was gonna point out too. A lot of the acting was a little melodramatic for me, but I think that's just the style, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a lot of it was like a little too over the top.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little tough for me to get through certain parts because I wanted to pay attention to what was going on, but there was a lot of energy being put into certain characters and then not so much in others.
Okay. Did you like it? Did you like the movie?
It was okay.
It was okay. All right.
I'm not going to say it was bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad movie. It was, you know... Like this this director, like, he bit off a lot.
Yeah.
And then he, like, really chewed it throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a lot of components. Like, the production design, I will say, was pretty fucking awesome. Like, all around, everything looked really cool. The cinematography, I thought, was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the editing was great. The sound design was very stereotypical, like... When the moments happen, all of a sudden the sound gets super loud, which is always fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
But story wise, I don't know. It was real reminiscent of, like, it started off as kind of like a solid movie for me. Then it got a little boring. Sorry. And then at the end, it almost turned into like a low budget, like Blumhouse movie. I don't know how else to describe it, where I'm just going to flat out say it. The ending made no sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. I think they did the Brazil ending, which we can talk in spoilers, which made me very unhappy. But I actually really liked this movie. I thought it was really good. I think it's a really cool concept that plot-wise, they took a lot of turns I wasn't expecting. And
yeah.
Like you said, when you told me about the movie, I think I saw like the Netflix trailer of it and on Netflix or YouTube, I forget which. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. It sounds like a ghost story or something. You know what I mean? Like a Korean ghost story. But watching it, it does turn into like, there's really not a lot of supernatural stuff going on. It's more of just kind of a thriller. Once we have this high concept of like a phone that can talk between decades, right? But I thought the premise was incredibly original, and they do a fairly good job of turning things and twisting things and using the concept well. To the end. Just to like the last like 2-3 scenes in the movie were just like just absolutely awful. Just completely ruined. Yeah. I thought was a pretty good movie. Pretty good movie overall. So, well, we could talk about.
And I did appreciate like those twists and turns. I mean, we've already said that there's a serial killer. Can we just do like the short of the long of it real quick and say this girl befriends another girl that used to live in this house who was being beat by her mom or something like that, who is like a stepmom.
Mm-hmm.
And then she finds out that mom is going to kill her at one point. So
or
she
has.
Warns her.
Yeah, or has. Yeah.
Has. Yeah. Has killed her. Yeah. And this is after, like, this woman was able to, like, the woman from the past was able to save her dad from dying.
Which alters her future, her present.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which had already kind of happened. That's why I was confused. Before the phone is introduced, her reality is altered already. So that's what I was gonna get. I was like, I don't understand if this is like a haunted phone or is the house haunted, and is it actually a ghost story movie too? Like, are these actually just ghosts? I don't know. It was the, and I think it's just like the tail end of the movie brought up all these questions for me more, because I was like, oh, that didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I think I approached it just slightly different. I did turn my brain off, because I mean, when you have high concept like this, science fiction, like for me, it's just like, let me turn my brain off. The logic's gonna break down at some point where it's not gonna make sense. Just as long as they get from, you know, point A to point C, you know what I mean? As long as they get to the beginning and end well, then, you know, and not have to think too much about the movie and whether it was executed, I tend to be a little more easier on the movie. You know what I mean? And aside from the ending for me, like I was saying, aside from the ending, that really was like where I think the movie just, they completely fumbled the ending in the biggest way possible.
Yeah. A little disappointing. But I did really enjoy, I feel like the moment you realize that the girl from the past is a bad guy, I felt like was introduced like seconds before you see her turn into that bad person. But I think as the audience, I think everybody feels that one moment together, which is kind of cool. And it's mostly when she starts to like go crazy on her, when she's not answering the phone because she keeps like screwing off with her parents, or, you know,
and, yeah, enjoying her father coming back.
Yeah.
Her family being together and stuff like that. Getting long hair, getting a new hairdo, and then enjoying the hair as well. I don't know. No, I don't know. That was one of those twists I thought was, I mean, it made sense. I wasn't expecting it. Like I said, I thought there were supernatural things going on, and there is to an extent with the phone, but once they build a relationship and they're able to, you know, connect and fill certain voids in their lives where they have, you know what I mean? And become friends. They, you know what I mean? Like you said, like once she does this favor for her and she, you know, becomes a little too, I don't know what, needy. I don't know. Stalkerish.
Yeah. A little needy.
You know what I mean? And,
which they kind of set up too, because she was, I guess that way with, I forgot the character's name, but the store clerk's daughter, who was sneaking candy to her. And then when she, like, when Soo-yeon goes and meets that little girl that was sneaking candy to her in the present day, she basically tells her, if it wasn't for her mom, the stepmom, that we think is a bad guy, I would be dead today.
Right. That's one of the big twists, right? That the mother, we just see the mother being cruel to the daughter, right? And so we're only really seeing one side of the, we're starting to see like, we feel empathy for her, right? The young girl. And I think the movie did a really cool thing where like they married the two characters fairly well. I even think their names are almost like similar, right? Like she's Soo-yeon.
Soo-yeon and then Young Sook.
Yeah, they're almost like mirrored in how they're looking at the spellings and stuff, they look almost similar. So I think there was a lot of mirroring going on with both characters, losing family, losing their fathers, and, you know, being with their mothers. They had a complicated relationships with, but like you were saying, what is it? The mother that imprisoned her, she actually was, I guess they say she's like a witch or something.
Like a shaman. Right? It was probably the word that got tossed around a lot.
Right. So, and she foresaw that her daughter was going to kill her, right? Or was going to do something.
Or was going to kill several people.
Kill several people, yeah. So she was trying to, like, control her and keep her at bay, right?
And then she decided she needed to kill her, and then that's when she got warned. But she was doing a lot of, like, ritual stuff that would make Young Sook, like, go into, like, convulsions and stuff that I thought was interesting, but they don't really go into that. Really interested in that part. Like, I wanted to understand what her, like, drawings were on the papers,
they did undersell it. It's just set up. It just set up for the, you know, for the two characters. So when she kills her mother, she becomes pretty much like, she's free and she becomes like a killer. She kills all these people like almost immediately, right? She becomes incredibly conniving.
She like immediately, I guess, chops up her mom, puts her in the fridge. And then the strawberry farmer that you meet at the beginning.
Right, yeah.
And because they didn't introduce who he was, I was so confused about who that character was. And then he doesn't really look like the young guy.
No, he doesn't. Yeah.
So I was version. Like extra confused. When he shows up at the house and gives him the strawberries, I was like, is this actually their son or is she dating this guy now? But like, no, it's just he's the strawberry farmer.
Yeah. And once she kind of goes crazy, she's still talking to her. And I kind of like the fact that she had like this power over her, right? Because the girl in the past, the crazy girl in the past, can dictate the girl's future, right? So I thought that was an interesting component. So she always kind of had her on the hook, right, for whatever she wanted. You know what I mean? So once they alter that reality, the new reality is that she ends up having to go to jail, right? Or she becomes imprisoned. So then she's like, tell me what happened so I don't become, so I don't have to go to jail. And she kind of like hangs that over her head and stuff like that, which I thought was really cool.
And because she keeps trying to push, like, I saved your dad's life, which I didn't understand why the girl didn't, rebuttal with like, but I saved your life. So why? I don't know why she kept trying to like, I saved your dad's life. And it's like, well,
yeah,
just, say it like, I have control. I'll kill your family now if you don't help me.
Yeah.
But still pretty cool. I like the whole concept. It was fun.
Same. Yeah, I like the whole concept. Do you want to just like get to the spoilers and just talk about the end?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. It was pretty good. And then that ending, man. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, it was deeply unsatisfying ending. And they do the Brazil ending. You know what I mean? And have you seen Brazil before?
Yeah. Or, I mean, it's been a long time, but I know what you're talking about.
Right, yeah. Basically. Yeah.
I mean, sort of. That's where, like, things don't make any sense to me, because according to the movie's logic already, which I know I'm not supposed to like, but according to the movie's logic.
Right, yeah.
Because all that happened already, she just does not exist anymore. So it's impossible for her to understand what the problems are going to be in the past and for her to call her previous self. Because otherwise she would have already done it.
Right. So what I think happened. So to briefly sum up what happens is, like we're mentioning, she's trying to like not go to jail. Right. And so the girl in the future gives her like information that so she could like potentially explode, right, in a gas explosion. But she ends up getting out of it, and then she ends up, torturing. She ends up killing her dad again, you know what I mean? So the dad dies. And she's also there as a little girl too, which was weird, right? That she didn't remember her? Because at some point she would have met her, right? At some point she would have actually met her. That was like a weird
That's time. What I was trying to remember too, because that, I think that scene actually happened at the beginning of the movie also.
Oh.
That same thing. So I think at the end it was like happening again. And then I started thinking like, oh, maybe it's just like a loop. It's just like a continuous time loop. That's pretty cool. But it's not. I don't know.
Right. And then
they just keep messing with the timeline. So now there's several different timelines. And they're going to have to get like all the Infinity Stones to fix this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, just, I mean, the movie ends with her mom saving her as a little girl, and then they are there, and they go back to their dad's grave, and they meet each other, and she actually survived. She ends up taking down the serial killer. They both fall over a banister onto the on the first floor. And
also, bear in mind, everyone, like, this woman murdered a cop that went with her. So right, I'm yeah. extra confused about how, like, she's just, like, the most notorious fucking, like, serial killer of all time, even though she killed a cop.
Yeah. And that's what, I just don't think that that's where that that scene makes no sense. Makes, like, no sense, because then you have, like, she, in the beginning of the movie, she basically has this difficult relationship with her mother, and she blames her for her dad's death. And then at the end, she has that, like, she ends up having that resolution. She ends up having that resolution with the mother, and then all is good, and we fade out. Everything's perfect. You know what I mean? And then there's, like, during the credits, there's, like, two or three more scenes, basically, confusing the hell out of me, where the future self and the old self of the serial killer, who was Young Sook, right? She tells herself, hold on to the phone, don't let go of the phone. So at this in this point, in this reality, this timeline, they fall over and she actually survives. And as the and then they as they in that scene where the mother and the daughter are walking away from the gravesite, she disappears, and we end up finding out that either she imagined it, that the girl Soo-yeon is still imprisoned, she's still trapped there, and she imagined this ending.
Yeah,
that's what
and
I took.
Her face
from it.
Like started to like right? distort, so I'm guessing she's getting tortured.
Right. Yeah. Forever, which is like the Brazil ending, right? Yeah. That's why I call it the Brazil ending. Essentially, like we're in Brazil where we have this fairy tale ending, and then only to pull out that he's still under the mind control.
Yeah.
Thing.
Well, I mean, I would consider it the Brazil ending if they didn't have that one little scene of the old Young Sook calling Young Sook and warning her real quick right before they show up.
Right.
Because then that...
Because I think that's the reality, right? That's what actually happened, and everything we saw was in Soo-yeon's head or whatever.
But then it starts to negate what happened at the beginning, where she's able to like alter reality. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm waiting to find out. I used that word wrong, by the way. So, you know, like because then everything before that would have been fake too, and she's just been like trapped this entire time. But she has this whole childhood memory, and there's like the whole beginning of the movie, and she saves that serial killer's life. I don't know.
I think there was one too many.
Yeah, there's a lot of twists. But
I don't know. Did the director write the movie? Let me check. Did he get?
I know for sure this is like his first, I think, feature film and horror film.
I think there's two writing credits. The director has one of them. Yeah, I mean, it's a cool concept, and I think they definitely like. Explain it and, you know, create logic for it. Only I think there's just one too many twists in this movie to make it satisfying. You know what I mean? And I think if they would have done a little less, it would have been more impactful as a movie. Yeah.
Or they could have all died. I don't know.
Like, that was... Yeah, they could have got blipped. Yeah, everybody.
My major twist is like, how... Wasn't the mom dying?
The mom was dying.
But then
dying.
She's not dying because things are better?
Of cancer. For whatever reason, you're not supposed... You know, it's like the classic thing when you time travel, you're not supposed to change anything.
Butterfly effect.
You don't know what... Butterfly effect. Yeah, exactly. So,
with Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher has a lot.
And that dude from Boy Meets World who's the wrestler Vader's son, right?
But yeah, so it's the butterfly effect for this movie where, like, she had cancer when we met her, so once the reality's changed where the dad actually survives the gas explosion, she doesn't have cancer anymore. And,
And also, other major twist is when Young Sook went to stop the dad from dying, she saw that Soo-yeon was actually the person that turned on the burner again.
Just another pointless twist, in my opinion.
Because somehow she's able to, like, light that fire, or I don't know. I don't know. There, I guess there's a lot of marrying. Yeah, like, yeah. They show the chicken in the bag, right? The shaman mom has the chicken in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as she's free, she's eating like an entire bucket of chicken. And then she talks about how chickens without heads can can run around for a while. There's a
lot. Yeah, she, that was yeah. pretty messed up, yeah. She describes her dad that way.
Yeah.
The dad she just murdered. Which is pretty
I know, and they were ruining a heartfelt moment where Soo-yeon, who I think is 28, is finally learning how to drive, or her dad is like finally teaching her how to drive. And that was confusing too. Like, how come she doesn't remember, she doesn't have any of these memories?
Yeah, they didn't explore the idea of memory, how that works. Only that the reality changes. So,
because Young Suk somehow had these memories, so she was able to warn herself.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think you're right about that. That they could have talked more about how their memories are changing each time the timelines change. They could have explained a little bit more of that.
Yeah,
I agree.
I just wanted I wanted more ghost stuff too. I don't know why.
Well, there's a
because it felt like it was about to present itself, and then
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a movie that has a lot of interesting things, like interesting time travel, interesting good performances too. I mean, I thought there was pretty well acted. All the leads, the two leads, did a really strong job as well. And you know, I thought it was a good, you know, science fiction movie, thriller, you know, film.
And also, how cool is it they, for like 90-something% of the movie, are never in a scene together?
Yeah, good point, yeah.
It's pretty fun. In fact, it's just like the two of them for like a good portion of the movie, just them two on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Cool.
What do you think of the band, right?
The band?
It's like Korean 311, whoever that guy was. I don't know if he's a real guy.
I thought it was Jonathan Davis. I thought it was like Korn.
Yeah, because he had the like the red dreads and like the Adidas tracksuit. Adidas. Yeah, I don't know. That was funny.
That was super funny, yeah.
And every time they played a song, I was like, oh, yay.
I don't have a cultural reference point for any of this music, so they could it could have been 99, it could not have been 99. I have no idea. Sorry folks, I'm not Korean. That's another one of my short failings, is not knowing Korean pop culture.
we're just not good with pop culture in general, I don't think.
Yeah, just really obscure stuff. So, and I only knows really, really obscure stuff.
Now, if you want to talk variant comics.
Yeah. Well, shout out.
Listen to our old podcast.
All right. Did you want to have your last thoughts? Any last thoughts?
No, not really. I don't know. I think the movie was pretty good, but then would I recommend it? Because that ending like really rubbed me the wrong way.
Same.
Yeah. And it's a 2-hour long movie. So you're sitting there and you're like enjoying it or not. I don't know. And then the ending happens. Which, I mean, some people might really love that though. Because it was such a like weird, like, let me smack you across the face real quick with this added thing. It was like watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy, I mean the third movie, and it just like didn't end, you know? I was like, oh, it's over. Oh, that was a pretty good ending. Oh, it's nice that they ended on a happy note. And then like not even 2 seconds later, they start rolling credits, right? And and then they just go straight into it. I was like, okay.
I was always under the impression you've never seen Lord of the Rings. Am I?
Oh no, I've seen it.
Oh, okay.
I saw that's it in the theaters.
I just remember you not liking fantasy or medieval stuff. It could have just been Game of Thrones. I don't know. There's something I remember being amazed at you didn't like.
You know what? No, it was Game of Thrones. I think
it was Game of Thrones. Okay,
I dropped off after like the third season, and then I just never picked it up again.
Yeah,
and then
wise.
I finally pick it up for like the last two seasons, which I mean, was
wise
like
beyond
the
your time yet.
Yeah. So as soon as he kills Sean Bean, I'm like, I'm out, because that's what I watch. I just watch these things so I can watch Sean Bean get killed. But sometimes you let him live, and I'm like, why, dude?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. How many sexy spooky bones do you give this?
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to have to give it
5 sexy spooky bones.
Right down the middle.
Right down the middle. I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to do 7 sexy spooky bones out of 10. I thought it was a good movie. They completely fumbled the ending.
Yeah.
But not a bad movie overall.
No, not at all. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. Keep making those movies. This is me encouraging filmmakers all across the world. Just keep on trucking. Living in the free world.
Hey. I'm sure they're all yeah. hearing that. They need it. So,
thank you. And if you want to,
thank you for listening. And
I was gonna say, if you want to see like any of the work we've done, we shouldn't be talking. All right, no, yeah. and as always, right?
Stay spooky.
Oh no, sorry.
Yeah. Well, we got to talk about our movie we're watching next week. We are watching Super Dark Times. So that's just a movie about today and tomorrow. Because we're on the Super Dark timeline,
that's
right?
True. So. Yeah. Maybe I should try to find an old cordless phone and see what I can do.
Try to call, yeah. All right. Again, thank you for listening. Next week, we are going to review Super Dark Times. And as always,
stay spooky.
All right.
All right. Goodbye.